Hey guys, it's Jeff. I'm not going to make a habit of this because I really want you to get right to the episode 10 of Mana with our guest, Mike Schrader. You know how in newspapers where, for those that still read newspapers, you know, sometimes you'll read the newspaper and they'll have an area in the paper for retractions, things that the paper messed up the day before. And so then they print the correction the next day. This is a bit of a retraction. As you listen to this next episode, which is fantastic, there's going to be a section, and it actually comes during the fun section, where I try to tell a joke. And for those that know me, I know like two jokes my whole life. I can never remember them. And so when Mike was talking, and I'm not going to ruin what he was talking about, or give you all the context. But anyway, he was telling a story, and it reminded me of this one joke, this one of two jokes that I remember. And I was so excited to tell the joke that, you know, I'm waiting for him to be done talking so I can talk. And so he gave me an opening. And so then I, I shared what I thought was the joke that I remembered. And he laughed and we laughed and, you know, very successful joke telling little vignette there. And then it wasn't until after the recording and several hours later, I'm just, you know, kind of reflecting on the show and all the great things that Mike said. And I was thinking about the joke. And as I was re-remembering now the telling of this one joke, one of a couple jokes that I know, I realized I did not tell the joke right. I messed it up. So I'm going to tell you the joke correctly here. And so that when you listen to the show and then we get to the joke part, you can hear how badly I messed it up. It wasn't terrible. I mean, it was in like the ballpark of the joke to the point, and Mike was polite enough to laugh. So I thought it was, you know, a success at the time, but it wasn't. So the joke is this. When you're golfing, and if you're ever golfing in a thunderstorm or lightning, and you see lightning on the golf course, you know, the club that you want to be playing with is a 2-iron, because not even God can hit a 2-iron. Okay, so that's the joke. It is so not funny now as you're listening to it. I totally get that, but that's the joke that I meant to tell when we get to the portion in the show where the incorrect joke was told. So, all right, with that, enjoy episode 10 of Mana.
A podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Mana.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Mana, the podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That is exactly what makes them extra to me, and I'm excited for you to meet them. Now, for those of you that have listened to past episodes, first of all, thank you, and please keep sending guest ideas our way. We've gotten a couple of them. But for those that have been listening, you know that I know all of our Mana guests in some way or another, whether it's been through work or college or kids or church. But today's guest starts getting us into family territory, not all the way in. I was thinking about this. I don't even think we're like related at all, even by like, you know, common law, anything like that. We're not even in-laws, I don't think. He is the husband of the sister of my wife. So he and I have plenty in common as fellow outlaws, as we like to call ourselves, of the wonderful family we married into. But we're going to stay focused on the topic at hand, and we won't get too much into That's a whole other podcast.
I think they call that brother-in-laws by marriage.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to stay focused on this show for now. But from aside, from being my and Lori's table mate at extended family dinners, he's a multi-talented human in areas of sport, especially golf, and song, especially the Our Father, which he sang at our wedding, and anything Elvis, which he was not allowed to sing at our wedding. He's an attorney, realtor.
You got to come around.
Attorney, realtor, developer, entrepreneur, and former Ole, which we will talk about that later. But most importantly, a devoted husband, father, son, and friend. Welcome today's Manna Man, Mr. Mike Schrader.
Thank you.
Hello, Michael. Where to start? You know, I was actually, when I was writing your intro and just thinking about today and just thinking about all the years we've known each other, it's got to be over 20 years. We've shared so many experiences together and a lot of faith experiences together through our family, you know, weddings and funerals and first communions and confirmations and just a myriad of things.
It's over 25 years. Yeah. We just had our 25th wedding anniversary, so it was prior to that.
Yeah, it was. And but I was thinking about all those sort of ceremonies that we've hung out and been around faith. But I don't know, and maybe we had some passing conversations on golf courses years past, but I don't know that we've ever had a chance to really just sit down and talk about faith. So I really appreciate this time to do it. And now all of you listening can just listen in on to brother-in-laws by marriage, talk about faith. But anyway, since this is a family-themed sort of episode, that's where I want to start. I want to start with your family. You are a father of five, six with Grace, who you lost at birth. Three of the five are triplets, and so for those that don't know Mike and his wonderful family, they make a presence wherever they go, okay? So even though when you guys have to divide and conquer at Mass, you know, you guys are making it an impression. You're filling up half the pew, even when you have to divide and conquer.
I'm just walking behind and paying the bill.
So we're going to talk about family first here. And before we even talk about your family here with the girls and with Annie, I want to start kind of where it started, like, because you come from a very strong family, you know, your mom and dad and your siblings. So talk a little bit about how you grew up, like, what was the dynamic growing up in a very strong family and, you know, church and faith and all that kind of stuff. What was it like?
Well, our family was a bit unique, in the sense that, my dad grew up on a farm, and that work ethic was the core of his drive and entrepreneurial efforts. And so at an early age, a lot of what was going on in our family was driven by our mom. Mm. So I've always been a bit of a mama's boy because of that.
And you're the oldest, right?
I'm the middle.
Oh, you're the middle.
Brett, I have an older sister and a younger brother. I think sitting in the middle is a nice place to be. I saw my sister suffer the slings and arrows of being the oldest child, and I witnessed my younger brother kind of cruising in on the wake of the whole program. but we're all good friends, and as a matter of fact, we're all in business together, and we have a family business, and that has been a unique evolution as well. And our sort of growing up together and evolving into kind of different roles in the business and things like that. But we were just a normal Lutheran family not much going on there, you know, sports and music and those kinds of things. And
so with your mom being, you know, because I'd have to say that was my family as well. So was it your mom? Like, I remember my dad was a big all-star wrestling fan, and it was always on Sundays at, you know, 11 o'clock.
Oh, absolutely. Kenny the Sodbuster
J. Exactly. The High Flyers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I can vividly remember my mom, you know, not literally, but pretty near dragging, you know, my dad, you know, to church. And we were all in tow. I mean, was it that kind of a thing? Like, was your mom active in church?
I was fortunate that our church had a very active youth group.
Mm.
And we all got involved with that. And it was kind of a singing group. I wouldn't say that it was a performance group. We made sounds. you know, we went on tours. We went to camps. And, you know, we kind of had developed some fellowship and some good friendships through that. And, you know, took our religious education mm-hmm. through the Lutheran Church. And I was right in the same church all the way up and the same church that my parents still are somewhat members of, although mm-hmm. they are, you know, because of their age, watching more services than attending. But it was classic Lutheran. My dad was a Missouri Synod Lutheran, which is a very strict,
mm-hmm.
You know, sect of the Lutheran Church. You know, took his catechism in German and the whole deal. But it wasn't. Church was something we did. It wasn't necessarily the guiding principle. It was underlying in our mm-hmm. life. It wasn't something that we talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we viewed it any less, but it was just part of growing up. It was just like I viewed it as kind of the normal stuff. And I think I loved going because I loved the music in the Lutheran Church.
Yeah,
it's the one thing as a Catholic now that I kind of think is hilarious because, you know, the Catholics really didn't have music as part of their mass and they stole all the music and put their own lyrics to it, you know? It's like, it's not the same.
Yeah.
But,
well, and I do think growing up also in the Lutheran Church, I think Protestants do youth, worship and youth well, like it's because that's how I got into it. You know, I mean, it felt as much of a social, club, you know, a social outlet as anything, you know, and it's just, and then I think the church stuff just kind of snuck in, you know, a little bit through the cracks.
Yeah. I liked it. I had a lot of good friends that were through it. You know, we shared a lot of stuff together. I think sort of established a little bit of a baseline, but, and in that same way, I don't think it was, I don't want to use the word churchy, if that's the wrong mm-hmm. word, but it wasn't. It was very comfortably set in our dynamic of school, family life, and the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I don't want to say we're creasters, but I think we kind of did it. You know, I don't know that we were. The attendance record was perfect, but it was a weekly ritual.
Yeah.
And part of the ritual was we would go to church and then we would drive down and visit the farm and visit my paternal grandparents.
Yeah.
And that was a great kind of a weekly journey. It's about an hour south of the cities and, you know, it ended up being in the city where I went to college. And so I was very familiar with it. And it was kind of a weekly thing. So it really, the part I liked about it was that it was a whole day.
Yeah.
It was the day that my dad didn't work.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. So the time with him and the rest of his family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So speaking of college, so down in Northfield, you ended up, I joked earlier, at St. Olaf. For those listening, I went to Gustavus. I think that's come up before.
Yeah, that school on the other hill.
Exactly, the other hill. Two hills here in Minnesota. So how did then at St. Olaf, which is also, you know, it's a good sort of, you know, Lutheran church school, was you making it there, was that as much as a matter of kind of familiarity and great music, which, you know, I know you sang in school. I mean, as much as it was the faith tradition around it, I mean, was it that also just kind of in the background when you were in school?
The choice there was it just checked a lot of boxes for me. I could mm-hmm. do a lot of the things that I wanted to continue to do. And I'm a firm advocate of a liberal arts education. I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do or who I wanted to be. So kind of getting this general education I thought was a good baseline. I liked the size of it. I liked, unlike, and this is not a commentary on what's good or bad, but I liked the getting to know my professors and having access to them and having personal relationships and smaller classes. And that school fit that bill, very similar to the school you went.
Yeah.
And, it really wasn't a faith decision, even though I know it was a strong Lutheran school. But it kind of became that way a little bit, even though it had a very diverse mix of religious backgrounds. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I did like about it was the liturgical music, and they had this daily chapel. It was optional. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like militant or anything, but it was a forum for students to kind of talk. And that was the big thing. You did a chapel talk, you know, and so your classmates would get up there and kind of talk about their lives.
That's cool.
And
like, was it scheduled? Like everybody did it eventually? Yeah, or
it was during the day, like at 10:30.
Okay. But so, like the chapel talks, did students like, was that part of your kind of career at St. Olaf? Like everyone's got to do it, or people just kind of volunteer?
It was not a requirement.
Okay.
I never did one.
Okay.
I had several of my friends that did. But I just always thought it was interesting because you could see what everybody's experience was and kind of how they got there and find out a little bit more about them. And so that's kind of how I ended up there. I mean, and I loved my time there. I think I had the initial kind of freshman thing going on initially, but really settled in and really think highly of my time there. And so I don't know if you have that same kind of, a lot of my close friends are from there still. That I keep in touch with, and as opposed to, went on to graduate school, and I have like a very small group of friends, but not like the core guys and gals that I went through college with. So, and I think it's also a little bit of where you are in the time of your life.
Yep, totally. And I do think there are things, not to overthink it too much, but, you know, Gustavus has a similar setup. Chapel and then a regular chapel kind of service every day at 10 o'clock and where everything shuts down, you know, so you got a couple hours of class, 10 o'clock, pretty sure it was 10 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, everything stops and you didn't have to go to chapel, but there was really nothing else to do. And it ended up being something for me that I was not a religious, no pun intended, attendee, but you know, I went enough. It sounds like same as you. I want enough to appreciate it, you know, and just to kind of appreciate the, just it, kind of that time it, to pause.
It becomes a lot like, you know, masses to me currently is that sort of time for thought.
Yeah.
And to be quiet and to just kind of, it's there to give you an opportunity to either participate in what the discussion is or, you know, clear your head or do whatever you need to do to kind of be thoughtful of things that are important. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it went every day because I didn't, but I thought it was really cool. And so enjoyed that. At that school and the music and the sports and all the stuff. Yeah,
my dad, so now that I've ripped my dad for staying home wanting to watch wrestling, my dad actually later in life, he's a very faithful churchgoer now, and he said something really cool about church this a few years back, and he's not a preacher, you know, theologian, anything like that, but he was just saying how church is great because it's 1 hour out of the week where everything is positive, you know? Even when you're talking about sin and forgiveness, it's still, at the end of the day, it's very affirming. You know, there's not, nobody's criticizing you. Like, nobody's, you know, you don't walk away from church feeling like, oh, now I got to go work on all this stuff. So I just always appreciated what he said. And it's just kind of this little respite, you know, kind of from the week.
I've learned to look at it as I've grown older, more as an opportunity in lieu of an obligation, because of that time,
and the
feeling of the need for that time to sort of, you know, just think about things.
Yeah. And, was there anything so pretty, you know, normal you know, quote unquote, normal childhood, normal college experience. So, you know, but, and not to put you on the spot, but you're on the show. You know, I think for people meeting you later in life, in your, you know, I'm not going to make an age comment, but Mike is older than I am. But, you know, I think if people were to meet you now and just, and how you're very humble about it, but you're very faithful. I mean, you're very visible, like you say, you're attending church and the kids have been involved in a lot of stuff and, you know, so was there a moment, can you point into your life where did the switch flip at any point in time, or was it just kind of this just gradual kind of maturation, and you know, you become a husband.
Married a Catholic woman.
Okay.
As did you. And you know, you make that vow. And for me, my faith and my views on religion are very open to people's interpretation. And so I was like, here I am, you know, I've been doing this thing for a while. I'm mm-hmm. I'm okay with this. I felt a little out of the loop, especially the strong family that we married into. And so I think for me, it was like, I should probably do this RCIA thing, you know, just to keep peace in the world.
Yeah.
And I kind of went in there with, I don't know, I wasn't cavalier. I didn't have a bad attitude. I just was like, you know, I'm going to go until I hear something that bothers me.
Yeah.
Or something that I don't agree with, or something that to me is a big deal.
Yeah.
There's obviously differences and everybody has their own views and things. And my whole thing is like, it's painfully arrogant of me to make a decision on what somebody else is thinking as it relates to their personal faith. So I kind of went in there and said, well, this is going to be mine then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, enter kids. And it's another component that I think, makes you understand the need for commitment and guidance. And I guess those things have shaped my direction from these 25 years.
Yeah. It's funny when you talk about, when you say those exact words about sitting, going into RCA and saying, you know, I'm going to be here until I hear something that doesn't, that's exactly what our father-in-law said when he, if you talk to our mother-in-law and how she recounts the story of how Mr. Wayman, he said the exact same thing. He said it exactly how you just said it.
Well,
and
I kind of decided on short notice. And so this was at our church that we used to go to. And I just kind of showed up and they said, well, you got to have a sponsor and you got to sign up and you got to do the thing.
This isn't just like a walk-in kind of a thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm sponsored by Nike. Let's go. Thankfully they were really open to it. I never ended up having a sponsor.
Really?
No, I just did it. I guess the people that were running it just sort of stood up for me and I went and completed the things and I didn't find it. I found it interesting. And so that was kind of the beginning of a little bit of that piece of it. But that didn't diminish or countermand any of the stuff that I had prior growing up. It just kind of, it's like layers on a cake.
Yeah.
You know, you just keep adding.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I think that's important for people who are listening and who don't know you. I mean, because that's, I remember when you did that and that's what was so impressive because you did grow up, even though, you know, you're humbly talking about, you know, it was kind of a normal childhood, but you had very strong family tradition, family, you know, you were not godless at all, you know, at all.
Yeah, but I wasn't Jim Peterson. I didn't sit in the coffee shop and talk about it. It's just that's not what I don't know. And I don't have a problem with folks doing that. I love that people are open to that. But it's hard for me.
Yeah.
And so I had a hard time. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what makes it cool. That's, I think, what makes it cool that you did it. And you did it as much for, like when you talk about the layers on the cake, I think it's a beautiful metaphor because, you know, when you were growing up and then single, like you had you just had one layer, you know, it's like you. And so you've got your way. And just like we all did, you know, like we all figure out our way to kind of get through life and get through faith and get through work and get through friends. But as you add these awesome layers of family, and you just realize that there's other things to take into consideration, and that just kind of the alignment, I think, is so powerful. And the fact that, you know,
well, you mentioned I'm older than you too. So now I'm starting to see what things are like as the layers come down.
Yeah.
You know, as the kids go away.
Sure.
And as you consider the sort of different chapters in yeah. your life, you know, getting reacquainted with your spouse and
yeah.
identifying maybe your health issues and, you know, dealing with death.
Yeah.
All of these things are all kind of another layer that, you know, sort of you're getting down to that core layer again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, it's changing and ever evolving, and yeah. I think the core of it all is to be able to have the continuity of that essence, that time, the thinking of it.
Yeah,
helps me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind
and
of
we all need help, right?
Totally, totally. And I think, you know, as you were talking, I'm reminded by. So I've got something in my closet that was made by one of your daughters, and it's this really cool framed piece of five random pictures of different things, but they're all of like, you know, random like railing handles or something like that. But they all each of them spells out it's a letter, and it spells out faith. And and I've got it. And so every morning I see that. And so every morning I think of.
I know, but they just stole that from those letters that you wrote in your house.
Well, my point is, and what the reason I bring it up is it's got to be so cool also. I know it's cool because of our own family and our own daughters. But it's got to be neat to see all of your, I'm going to go back to our cake metaphor, as you're sort of crafting this cake and all these layers, it's got to be cool to see that come out in your kids, you know, and not that they're all, you know, carrying Bibles and,
right.
Picketing. I mean, they're just living it. You know what I mean? That's just coming out in the people that they are, you know?
Yeah. No, and I appreciate you say that. I'm proud of their, sort of that each of them is in their own way taking the next step. I think that this is the very hardest time.
Yeah.
Or young people is sort of when they're the teenager through college, because you have this air of invincibility and there's lots of other things to do. And you're, you know, well, I have to find a place to live and I need to get a job and I need to meet another person. And, you know, and so those things sort of, you know, tend to become the top priority and you kind of get away from some of your core stuff. So I've been encouraged to hear that they're, you know, doing their best to find their own path. And we don't really, it's not something I sit them down and really talk about, only that if there are troubled times that and good times, you know, be joyful in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the good and the bad, and understand, yeah. You know, see sort of these core values come from a lot of that. And so, you know, we're just, it makes me feel good that they didn't fight it,
yeah.
you know, and that they weren't militantly.
Yeah.
I think they're, and it helps that they have, you know, a lot of family cousins and friends
yeah.
that they live it as well, you know, all your kids
yeah.
and
yeah.
our other in-laws and things
yeah.
like that. And so, yeah, no, I appreciate
well, yeah.
that.
At worst, like all of us, I think at worst they're, all of our kids and us at worst, they can be distracted, you know, mm-hmm. and just preoccupied with other things like we all are. But I do think there's a foundation there that
I just feel like, you know, you got to rig your ship, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're going to make that journey, doing that happens when they're kids.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And it becomes a solid foundation.
Yeah.
So we've heard, you know, My wife and I have really tried to work through that, and she's a very consistent and stable leader in that regard.
Yeah.
I'm kind of floating over.
Oh, that is the understatement. Not the floating, the fact that, yeah, we're both very blessed in that regard. All right. Well, hey, by the way, two for two on the metaphors. The cake and the ship, rigging the ship, that's fantastic. I'm a big metaphor guy. Those are going to make the top 10 of the man of metaphors. All right, we are now to the section of the show that is still poorly named for all of you people who have been emailing me with offers to better brand this portion of the show. I appreciate your offers, but you've gone silent. And so this still remains a miserably section of the show called the fun segments. And so we've got three questions. For those that have been listening in the past, you know the drill. All of our guests know these questions in advance, and so they've had plenty of time to think of clever, witty, inspiring answers for us.
David Faraday calls his the lightning round.
Lightning round, I like it.
This is the lightning round.
Lightning round.
That's right. And on a show like this, you got to watch out for the lightning.
You do. All right. So fun segment question number one, Michael. If Jesus knocked on your door tomorrow and just wanted to hang out, what would you do with him?
Well, I mean, I think you probably know this one. It's real easy for me. I am hopelessly smitten with the game of golf. It's something I took up later in life. And it is just the best opportunity to have an opportunity to just be with somebody for like 4.5 hours. I think a lot of times you say, well, if you're going to have dinner, who would you? Well, I got them for 4.5 hours. And if the group ahead is just slow, you know, it might be five, yeah, right?
You can cover a lot of ground.
And
I
think it would be great, a great experience because, I think you really get to know and find out about people when you're outdoors. And I think golf courses are beautiful. Yeah. And when you're knocking it around and then, you know, that also includes the post-golf activities, you know, I have having a beer with Jesus mm-hmm. would be great, right?
Awesome. 19th
so,
hole.
Yeah. Very good. Yep. I'm still trying to figure out how many strokes he'd have to give me. And what kind of bat
you can't
what
cheat
kind of
at
bat
all.
Would have you yeah, I'd be interested to see if he used the foot wedge.
Yeah.
And he only needs one club, right?
I mean, totally.
So that's an easy
Speaking
one.
Speaking of clubs, I remember I used to carry, as I think only you probably know, I used to carry a 2-wedge. In my bag. I don't even know why. I had this dumb set of clubs. This is years ago, and one of the better jokes that you ever told me, cleaner, I might add, was that, and it was something around, you know, why doesn't Jesus carry a 2-wedge in his bag? And I said, I don't know why. He said, because not even God can hit a 2-wedge. So
that's right.
That would be good. All right. Yeah. Question number two.
I wish I could take credit for that joke, but it's been around for a long time.
Has it? It's been attributed to you. So, all right. So question number two. Fun segment. Question number two. If you could go to church, I talked a lot about church this show. If you could go to church with any other guy, living or dead, who would it be?
My son.
Awesome. Say more about that. So he's 20, what is he now, 24?
He's 23.
23, okay.
He's living in Tennessee.
And you've obviously been to church with him
yeah.
a lot in
yeah,
the past,
I just,
which makes this answer
even... I miss
even,
him. He's serving in the military.
Yeah.
He went to one of these small liberal arts colleges as well that I think has a great fellowship and a great way of keeping men together and in the Benedictine way. And he doesn't have that anymore, you know? So I haven't seen him for a long time.
Yeah. I think going to church with him would be awesome. I think that would be probably the best hour you could spend.
Yeah. I check in on him now and again, and he's at that age where he's trying to figure it out. you know, and I'm encouraging him in the same way that it provided me guidance to maybe consider that as a social group, as a guidance, something like that. So I feel like it would be helpful for him, and so it'd be great if we could go together. And he's a great singer.
Great
too,
singer.
So,
oh my gosh.
So
yeah.
We love to kind of crank it up, and you know, the people in front of us turn around and say, you know, could you knock it off?
And the harmonies. I mean, you guys are just like, you're way too good at just breaking into like, you know, it's like being in front of a Pitch Perfect show.
You probably can't see on radio, but it gets me emotional. I love that guy.
I think it's great. That's a great answer. All right, last question. Fun segment question number 3. And this could be, speaking of your son, maybe you've actually shared this, but if you had one piece of advice, so this is kind of getting it back to the theme of this podcast. If you had one piece of advice to give a young man about being comfortable in living his faith, what would it be?
My dad had a saying that I liked, and it applies to your faith and to your work and to your just essence. And he says, 90% of life is showing up.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think that people need to, young people, they just need to keep showing up. And that doesn't mean showing up at church. It means showing up intellectually for people that they need. Putting in the time for work, for their fitness. It can mean church, but show up. That's number one. And number two is, and this is something I try and work on because I'm a talk first, listen second, which is horrible.
Well, you're really good at it. You're very good at it,
though. Just horrible, but I want to listen first and learn to hear people. I think sometimes when I come into a discussion, I have what I want to say and what I think about it already out before they've even added their 2 points, and I'm going down my path. So show up, listen, and then be a person of action.
Cool.
So those three things.
Yeah.
Because you have the power to change things if you don't like the way they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I get really frustrated if somebody's complaining about their lot in life or they got a bad deal on something or it's not working. It's just like, you have the power to change this. So make it happen. Take action. And I just think that those things are easy. And my final one is to be positive. Do things in a positive way. Be joyful about yourself and enjoy every day.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and just with that, you sound like your dad, because I could hear your dad saying all those same things. You know, and that's cool. That's a great influence, great man influence there. So, all right, thanks so much. This is great.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jeff.
It.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.